Okay.
It would be good. Yeah, it would be good. All right. There's one left. You have to sit upside the wall there. But you're back to the wall. There you go. Okay. All right. Well, we're in Revelation. Last time John's class joined us, I think we were in Revelation. Hopefully we've made a little progress since then. I'm not going to ask you what we were doing last time, because I don't know. Okay. But here we are up to Revelation chapter 8. And with Revelation chapter 8, we get into the trumpet judgments. Okay, we've seen that you can keep your bearings in the book of Revelation, particularly the part from chapter 4 up until through chapter 19 and 20 and so forth, there with these seven seals, which we've covered. And we just had a little interlude. We had the six seals, and then this little sidebar. And I said in the book of Revelation, a lot of times you get these little sidebars in there, which are not exactly chronological with what's going on. They sort of give you background information, or they give a little more detail about what's going on. It just kind of varies. But it's information that doesn't fit exactly into the events of the particular judgments that are taking place. But we've had six of these seals, and then we just last time looked at this first sidebar, which has to do with, anybody remember? This is a test. This is only a test. It's a big number, 144,000, okay? These 144,000 Israelites who are saved from each of the tribes, one tribe doesn't get mentioned. We talk about why one tribe doesn't get mentioned. But you still have 12 tribes. That talked about how that works. But at any rate, you have those 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel, and they apparently are... Their ministry results in the second part of chapter 7, and that is this vast multitude of people who are saved out of every ethnic group on the planet. And so this amazing ministry during the tribulation period. So a large number of people will be saved during the tribulation. That, however, is not to say that if you're not saved when the tribulation starts, that's okay. Okay? Because for the most part, it's not going to be like that. And it seems that when you put this, what happens there, together with what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, it's people who had heard the gospel, understood it, and rejected it, do not believe during the tribulation period. We're going to see some examples of how intense that hardening and blindness is as we get into these next judgments. But with this ministry of the 144,000, this little sidebar, now we get to seal number 7, and seal number 7 is the trumpets. And that's the way these work. It's kind of like a telescope, remember? That you have the seals, the trumpets, and then the bowls or vials, depends on the translation that you have. So the seventh seal brings the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet brings the seven bowls, okay? So now we're ready with the opening of the seventh seal. We have the beginning of the trumpet judgments. Now, what's happening here is that things are also coming in rapid succession. But let's take a look at the first couple of verses here. In verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, "And when he," who's the he? He. The Lamb. He's the only one who is allowed to open these seals. He's the only one who has the authority, who is worthy to open these seals. God has... The Father has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. Jesus himself said that. And we see this played out in these judgments. Okay, so the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, breaks the seventh seal. And then you get this really dramatic pause. Breaks the seal, and you, with all this going on, you're kind of expecting blasts and, you know, eruptions and all kinds of spectacular stuff. And it says there was silence in heaven for a half hour. Now, around our house right now, I can't imagine a half hour of silence.
Okay. We get this between 2:30 and 3 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. But think about, you know, things have been pretty noisy up to this point, to say the least. And for suddenly it to go dead silent, would that be a little spooky?
Yeah.
And that's the idea. This is like, and you think about what was happening before we had this little sidebar, and we have the judgments that were taking place before, and then that with the sixth seal. Now the first seals we have, in fact, all of the seal judgments up to this point seem to be sort of horizontal. That is, there are things that are happening this way. They're happening on planet Earth. You don't see anything coming out of heaven. Okay, it's all people doing this more or less to each other. Now with the sixth seal, you have sort of these, all of a sudden things start to look different above. And it's like you have this, have you ever been, you know, think about the last time you saw a really nasty cloud developing. And you just, no, this is not going to be good. Okay. Well, amplify that about 10 million times, and you get the effect here. So it's like you see this gathering clouds of doom, and on the earth, mountains are moving around, and all kinds of stuff is happening. It's like, what is going on? And people are saying, you know, they're calling for the mountains to, you know, fall and protect us. We know something bad is about to happen. Yeah, you're right about that. But the mountains aren't going to be able to protect you. And so then you have the beginning, and so you have this period of silence. And it's like, you know, it's like being, you lived in Florida, you go through the eye of the storm, you know? Yeah, and which is usually worse, the part before or the eye of the storm or after? It depends on where you live, I know.
I was going to say, Tracy, I don't know what you think. I think the beginning and the end is the same as the eye. I mean, but the eye is nothing. The eye is calm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know,
it's coming.
It's not over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of the deal here. So we've had sort of this first wave. Now, with a hurricane, it depends on where you're living in relationship to the tracking of the hurricane, but as the hurricane moves, the backside is more powerful than the front side. So if you're living in a certain place, it's not going to affect you that same way, but the winds and so forth, typically, now, you know, storm surges, and that's different. But as far as the winds, there is kind of a difference, and it gets worse. And so that's kind of what's the setting we've got here. So we got this silence in heaven for a half hour, and then the trumpets start to sound. And in verse 2 it says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God. Now, this seems to indicate that there are seven particular angels that stand in God's presence, and they're distinct from the angels that have been mentioned so far. If so, then perhaps these are the archangels. One of those would be Gabriel, another one would be Michael, and there are some books out of the Bible that give others their names. We don't know whether those are accurate or not, but nevertheless, that's a possibility here. Whether that's the case or not is not terribly important here. The main thing is that these trumpets are about to sound, and what happened to them. So you know, it's dead quiet. These seven angels stand there, and they're given these trumpets. And then another angel, in verse 3, came and stood at the altar. We've looked at this passage before, so it won't take a lot of time here, but anybody remember what altar this is? Actually, there's a strong hint in the text.
The altar of incense.
And if you remember in the tabernacle, which God gave the specific instructions to Moses as to exactly how everything was to be arranged. And in the tabernacle, you had the outer court, but then you had the actual tent of meeting itself, and it had two main sections. And this was called the holy place, and this we often refer to as the Holy of Holies. There was only one piece of furniture in here. What was it?
The ark.
The ark. And this is the place where God manifested his presence. And you couldn't go in there unless you were the high priest, and you could only go in once a year, and you had to do it exactly right or you're toast. Okay.
I've heard they tied a rope around you.
There is a tradition that that's true. I don't know that we can prove it, but it probably became true at some point. There's no biblical mention of that. But
they definitely had bells on the tassels, though. They could hear them moving around.
Yeah, make sure you're still...
Yeah.
Yeah. So... this is a scary place to be. Okay, so, but this is a place of God's actual manifest presence in Israel, and in between here you have this huge, thick, it's called veil, but it's really like heavy draperies. You know, it's like we're talking about movable walls. Somebody was talking about movable walls. Yeah, that's basically what it was. Okay, I mean it was really thick, and so that formed this barrier between here. And you had various pieces of furniture. One gets referred to here often with the lampstand, the menorah, okay, which is the only source of light other than God's presence in the tabernacle. But right in front of the veil, there was... The other altar, by the way, was all the way out here. Okay. And that's where they offered animals. But this altar was different. It's much smaller. It's about 18 inches square at the top and 3 feet tall. Okay. Not big, but its significance is huge. It was made of acacia wood and completely overlaid in gold. So what you saw was solid gold. Okay, and that was where the incense was offered. What does the incense represent?
Prayer.
And this takes us back to what we saw under the seal judgments, and just actually in terms of time frame, just prior to this, where there were going to be many more who would lose their lives before the prayers of the saints would be answered. And that prayer in particular was prayer for vengeance from God on those who had abused them and those who had afflicted them and so forth, upon the evil of this world. Okay. We looked at this in the Psalms and so on and so forth. Those prayers will be answered. And so here, the picture of in this heavenly temple is this altar of incense. And notice that the angel is holding a golden censer. That's something he put it in. And he says he was given much incense that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar. It's kind of interesting how this is phrased, that it's actually added to the prayers of the saints. Paul said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, really when we pray, and we've had a study on prayer in this class, where it's about discovering what God wants. Okay? But it always goes beyond what we discover. Not instead of, but beyond it. And he goes way past what we were expecting the answer to be. And it's like, when God answers, you can't imagine, you know. And this is kind of like the ultimate. And so you have this, God actually takes the prayers of the saints and intensifies them by giving this angel this additional incense. Seems to be the thrust of what's happening here. Yeah, huh?
In mine, it says, with the prayers of all the people of God. Is that like, will our prayers be
yes.
included in that too?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is all the saints throughout human history. So that includes us. Absolutely. Good question. Okay. And so he offers it upon this golden altar, which is before the throne. Now notice here, we don't have a veil. Jesus took care of that. Okay. And we don't have the Ark of the Covenant, because Jesus took care of that. We have the throne of God. And the angel offers this incense right there, right in front of the throne. Okay? So, this is pretty awesome. Okay. And when that happens, it says, verse 4, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and he filled it with... Now, here's where it gets interesting, okay? He's had the censer full of incense. Now he fills it with something else. What?
Fire.
Fire. Where does the fire come from?
Altar.
What altar is that?
Altar.
Of incense. Incense doesn't work unless it's something's burning it, okay? And so, what we're talking about here, now the saints, the incense, the prayers, go up to God. But what gets thrown to the earth?
Fire.
The fire. But there's this connection between the prayers and this fire. And so it's the very fire from the that comes from God's passion for the prayers of His people. And this has been stewing for a long time. Remember, we saw that the word incense itself means to smolder. Okay. So, but it will smolder no longer. Okay.
So is the fire feeding on the incense?
Yeah, it seems to be. Or the kind of.
Our prayers are pushing this, motivating.
Yeah, I think that's right. When you think about, from what it's representing is, we sometimes feel we pray and nothing happens, and we think, God's not listening. Oh yeah, and for want of a better way to put it, the emotion is actually building. It's just not time yet, and we're going to see all through this book that timing is everything, and everything is going by, according to clockwork. God doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't jump the gun. And sometimes to us, just like to our grandchildren, when things have to go to a certain time, it seems like you're just putting me off, you're not paying, you don't care, blah blah blah, The time's coming. But it doesn't mean that God is just sitting there calmly twiddling his thumbs thinking,
whenever.
We'll get to it. Oh no. All this time, in a sense, the temperature has been rising. You understand what I mean? I'm using emotional language, not. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get hot. Okay. So, you don't want to be on the wrong side of this. Okay, so it's about to really. Things have been bad up to this point. They are about to get unbelievably worse. Right? So, he throws this, and when he does this, the dramatic effect is pretty astounding here. It says there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashings of lightning and an earthquake. Right? Boom. Right? So, and then, and you got all this going on, the trumpets still haven't sounded. So with all this background noise, we had all this silence, now all of a sudden it starts to get noisy and the trumpets go up. Okay. So they're ready. Okay. So they're prepared to sound them. And the first sounded, verse 7. And it came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now, this third becomes a key thing with these by the way, the first four trumpets are grouped together. The second three trumpets are grouped together. We'll see how this works in just a minute. But the first four always involve a third of something. Okay? It's not a very good three, is it? It's hard when you got school teachers in the room. Anyway, okay.
I was going to say we're not grading you.
I'm really glad to hear that.
I can read it.
Okay. Right. Did that get an S at least?
Like it's
okay.
Very good.
Okay. I don't know if they give S's anymore. When I was in school, H, S, and U. You were toast. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So, but you have this. Everything affects a third of something. This first one, and by the way, a lot of people get, a little bit out of shape with things like, with the hail and fire, which would be, when you have a hailstorm, you usually have what? Lightning. Yeah. Lightning, yeah. And that seems to be what's involved here. It is very reminiscent of the seventh plague when God brought Israel out of Egypt. Although, and they experienced some things with blood, but that was not mentioned here. However, when you have a hailstorm like this, as was the case with the plague in Egypt, a lot of things die. And everything that wasn't under cover in the seventh plague of Egypt died. Okay? And so that's the idea of the blood. Some people take this here when it talks about the blood, that this is, you know, it's symbolic, and it's there is a real awesome hailstorm of some sort. The blood part is talking about the consequences of that hail. Maybe. You know.
At some point, somebody told me it was like a meteor shower. But it was much, like hail, we think of like golf ball size. This is going to be much bigger.
Well, that's an interesting one, because there's something that comes up a little bit later that's much more like a meteor shower.
Okay.
This,
I just had that written in for some reason.
Yeah. This seems to be probably real hail. And but it's hail with a vengeance, okay? And so bad that, you know, a third of the earth is burned up, a third of the land. I mean, think about this. We've never, when the seventh plague came, by the way, God warned Pharaoh that there's going to be a hailstorm like had never occurred in Egypt since it became a nation. This is going to be a hailstorm like the earth has never seen since creation. There's never been anything like this. Okay, even the flood didn't have anything like this. This is, you know, in a class by itself. And notice here, everything, when we look at these trumpet judgments, it's another characteristic is it's all coming down. Remember in the seal judgments up to this point, because these are included with the seventh seal, but in the six seals, everything is pretty much going this way. Now it's all coming this way. And we see this pattern continues right through. It's certainly true here. So, whatever's happened is, you know, people use the expression today, it's coming down. It's, yeah, that's what it's doing. Okay. Then the second trumpet sound. Second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Does this sound like a bunch of movies that came out not too long ago?
Yes.
Yeah. All these things about, you know, the asteroid impact. Okay. This little warning shot we got, that, you know, one that streaked over Russia. And by the way, it didn't even hit anything. Just the sonic boom from that thing destroyed windows and killed people. Is that what this is of some sort? Perhaps. But one thing is, it's coming down. Okay, everything seems to be coming out of the sky. So, it's this process. And the result is that it was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Now, does this mean actual blood with you know, platelets and plasma and, you know, and that sort of thing, white blood cells? Maybe. Could God do that?
Yeah.
Sure. No problem. Okay.
But it also talks about the moon being turned to blood.
Yeah.
We know it's not literal blood.
And so, when we say, by the way, we believe in literal interpretation, some people get a little... We do. We believe in interpreting in plain sense. However, it's clear from the passage itself that we're using representative language because it's really describing things that... We've never seen anything like this. So, how are you going to talk about this? Okay. So, but you can carry that too far and make it like it just means something, you know, intangible. This is tangible. This is a physical thing. So when we say it's literal, if by that you mean physical, then this, I believe, is absolutely literal. Okay. And keep in mind that when the same will be true when we see. The next one, we have stars, okay? Does that mean we're actually going to have other spheres from outer space, like our sun, colliding with the Earth? That's clearly not the case. Keep in mind that in biblical times, when they said a star, they meant something shiny in the sky. They had no idea what it was made of or how big it was, except what they could see. So a star is something shiny in the sky. So stars falling could be a meteor shower or whatever, and it would be perfectly legitimate in the literal meaning of the language. Okay, does that make sense? Because, you know, when we try to read our meanings into their words, then we get in trouble. Because for them, star didn't mean a massive sphere of hydrogen and helium that was in the process of doing nuclear fusion. None of those things had ever occurred to anybody. Now, God knew about them, you know, but he's using human language. So in human language, the stars refer to shiny things in the sky. And it's similar, I believe, here. But I'm inclined to think that this is some sort, whether it's an asteroid or something else, but I do believe that it's physical. Okay? This is not something happening spiritually. As we're going to see, there is something happening spiritually, but this isn't it. Okay? So, anyway. So, it says, number 10, verse 10, we have the third trumpet, and the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Now notice this is a little bit different, okay? And the star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And this one gets interesting. Now, what's the difference between the burning mountain and the star that's burning? I don't know. I really have no idea, okay? I know one thing. I wouldn't want to be in the neighborhood. Okay? That much, you know, I don't have to speculate about. Okay? But notice in the second trumpet, this great mountain, it affects the sea. So a third of the sea creatures die and a third of the ships are destroyed as a result. Okay? In this case, it hits the freshwater, the rivers and the springs of water. So we go from salt water to freshwater. So, this is not good. Right? And notice that this one has a name. Okay? What's the name? Wormwood. Okay. What does that mean? Okay. Well, wormwood is a plant. Okay? You find it several times in Scripture. It was a plant that grew in the Mediterranean area, and particularly the northeastern part of the Mediterranean, including Israel, Turkey, and Persia, so on and so forth. Okay, but there are some different varieties, but what's interesting about wormwood, it actually contains a chemical that is a poison. Okay? Now, it's still used today. In fact, it's used in beer making as a substitute for hops. What are hops? What are hops put in?
For flavor.
Yeah, what flavor?
Bitterness.
Bitter. Bitter. And that is what wormwood is, okay? Wormwood, it's not World War or something. Okay, wormwood is bitter. Now, most things that are bitter are poisonous. Whenever you taste something, if it tastes bitter, you better... Sour, you might get away with, but bitter, Okay? And that is true here. Now, with wormwood, it is used as a flavor, and so on and so forth. Sometimes you want that bitter taste, you know. In small quantities, it's okay. But in large quantities, what this chemical does is it causes you to go into convulsions and eventually have kidney failure. That's not a nice way to go. Now, if the water is contaminated with this, okay, you're not talking about flavoring, you're talking about your drinking water source. And notice the result. It says in verse 11, the waters became wormwood, and many died from the waters because they were made bitter. Now, is it exactly the same chemical that is in wormwood, or is it, but it, or is it that it has the same effect? Well, either way, it doesn't really matter, okay? But we are talking about a real physical thing. People died. This is poison, and it's poisoning a third of the fresh water on the planet. This, you know, things are getting real unpleasant, okay? And you would think that some of them would say, maybe we messed up. Well, it doesn't exactly go that way, right? Okay, the fourth angel sounds, okay? And it says, a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. So what you have is day and night, one third of the light is gone. Now, is this like a third of the nighttime hours and a third of the daytime hours? Is this, you know, a third of the planet at a given time? I don't know, but the bottom line is things start getting really dark. Okay? Would this... Is anybody... Anybody remember the first time you saw an eclipse? It's a little spooky. Yeah. Historically, people have been scared to death. Whenever there's an eclipse, people get really nervous. And they start trying to get right with some kind of God somewhere. Okay. Does that happen here? Well, it should. You know? Somebody by now should be saying, what's going on here? Okay? And verse 13... It says, I looked and heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. The second part of the trumpets, the last three are the three woes. Now, this will help you to keep your bearings with what's coming, because it's going to start to get a little complicated. Right? But these three woes take place, and I want us to skip ahead a little bit till we get to at the end of the end of the second woe, leading into the third one. And we're going to talk about these different woes in details, but in verse 20 of chapter 9, notice it says, and the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not what?
Repent
of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone, of wood, and which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. This is scary. What you have is humanity in the face of all this, just, you think, could people really do that? Yeah, they can. This is a sad state of affairs. This is not a place you want to be, okay? But this is where it's headed. I'm glad I'm headed somewhere else. So we got to quit. So we'll come back to this more boom. Okay. Who'd like to close in prayer?
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to go into your word and to see, Lord, what things are going to come about, Lord, in the end of time, so that we might tell others and witness to others, Lord, of things that we really don't want them to be here for, Lord. Just help us to have the strength and the courage to go out and be a light to you, Lord, and to lead others to you. Father, I pray that you watch over him, Pastor Philip, to deliver his message next hour, Lord, that you will be there with him and give him the words to say. that you'll be there with anyone in the congregation, Lord, who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day that they'll come to know you. Be there with us in all we do. In Jesus' name, pray.
Amen.